The third chapter of Lessons in Truth is entitled Thinking. Many students have commented that the word thinking is a strange title for a chapter in a book on spiritual unfoldment. In the opinion of some persons, thinking is not a valid part of religion. They say that only believing and obeying are necessary for religion. Thinking can be dangerous to religion because it might cause a person to start arriving at some of his or her own conclusions, and that might interfere with church attendance. But Unity takes an entirely different view of this matter. We believe that no religion is worth its salt if it does not help a person to think correctly. Instruction as to how to think correctly is the whole purpose of our Unity teachings. For it is only by correct thinking that a person can improve the states of his consciousness and grow into higher levels of being. The word thinking is a word which most people simply take for granted. But if you ask the average person to actually define the word thinking, he will often be at a loss. To many persons, trying to define the word thinking is just like trying to define the word green. If a thing is colored green, then it just is, and that's all there is to it. But Unity claims that the word thinking is not just like the word green, because thinking can be defined. It can be observed, analyzed, and controlled. For thinking is a living process, and it can be a process very much under the control of the thinker. In her chapter on thinking, Dr. Katie makes this statement, which is really the keynote of her entire book. She writes, "It does make a great difference in our daily lives what we think about God, about ourselves, about our neighbors. Heretofore, through ignorance of our real selves and of the results of our thinking, we have let our thoughts just flow at random. Our minds have been turned toward the external of our being, and nearly all our information has been gotten through the five senses. We have wrong thoughts because of being misinformed by the senses, and our troubles and sorrows are the results of our wrong thinking." When Dr. Katie states that it does make a great difference as to what we think, she is speaking not only for the Unity movement, but for all the great teachers of spiritual truth in human history. It makes all the difference in the world for any person in the world, at any time in the history of the world, as to whether a person is thinking correctly or incorrectly. If he is thinking incorrectly, then he will have an incorrect life and all kinds of incorrect things happening to him. On the other hand, if a person is learning and practicing correct thinking, then he will have a correct life with correct things happening for him. One of the main purposes of our Unity movement is to, first of all, teach people what constitutes right thinking and why, and what constitutes wrong thinking and why, the difference between the two and the results from the two is the same as the difference between heaven and hell. In one respect in this matter, Unity does differ rather drastically from most other religions which have this same basic goal, which is that Unity chooses to spend very little time on dealing with wrong thinking and its results. We admit of such, but we don't spend much time on it. We do not feel that the emphasis on sin and punishment is necessary. We prefer to place our emphasis on truth and good and reward. For example, if I spend much time analyzing all your faults and warning you of the bad consequences of those faults, I do not believe I have really helped you very much. But if I can teach you a lot of good and wise ideas and principles, and if I can convince you that these are all within your capabilities and that they will bring beautiful results in your life, then I believe I have been quite helpful to you. This is Unity's approach to religion and thinking. We teach the principles of truth and rightness. We encourage people to think and pray along the lines of those principles. We teach the law of mind action and the formative power of thought. We find this much more helpful than using a lot of time and energy on combating and denouncing sin. I very much like what Dr. Katie says on this matter, and even more do I like the way she says it. Referring to wrong thinking and its bad results, she writes, "But," says someone, "I do not see how my thinking evil or wrong thoughts about God or about anyone can make me sick or my husband lose his position. Well, I will not just now try to explain all the steps by which bad results follow wrong thinking, but I will just ask you to try right thinking for a while and see what the results will be." And Unity continues to follow Dr. Katie's example to this day. We continue to say to persons, in effect, "Yes, wrong thinking causes man's wrong conditions." But we do not have to go into a deep search and analysis of the wrongness of certain thoughts and how the wrongness is the result. These things speak for themselves. But we do know that the presentation of right and true ideas leads to right thinking, and right thinking produces its own right results, and it can also lead to the correction and healing of the results of wrong thinking. What we are saying is that Unity is more concerned with goodness and truth than it is with wrongness and suffering. One good thought can overcome the ill effects of thousands of erroneous thoughts. What is wrong thinking? What is an erroneous thought? Basically, it is any kind of thinking which condones harm. Does this seem like a too simple definition? I assure you that although it is simple, it is powerfully correct. Any thought is wrong, which is a thought that somehow expresses the attitude that harm is okay. This attitude can take countless forms in our thinking. It can be saying that harm is okay for me, or that harm is okay for you, or that harm is okay for certain others. It may be saying that God feels that harm is okay for his children. But any thought in our mind or any feeling in our heart which is in any way saying that harm is okay is a wrong thought, a wrong feeling, and a sin. It will produce only suffering. It must be changed. It must be changed into right thinking and right feeling. What then is right thinking? In Unity, we believe that right thinking is any thought which agrees to the essential goodness of being. We start with God, the creator of all being. We think of God as absolute good. Then we think of God's creation as basically and innately good. The book of Genesis tells us that God sees creation as good, basically and innately good. Now the problem for man arises because of the fact that within the innate goodness of God's creation, there is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This tree bears a fascinating kind of fruit. It is the fruit of worldly knowledge. This means knowledge which is formed by the polarizing of energy, all expressions of energy. This means mental energy, emotional energy, physical energy. When energy becomes polarized, we gain knowledge of facts by such polarizing. Knowledge for man on earth consists in knowing what is good, what is evil, what is right, what is wrong, what is correct, and what is incorrect. All knowledge on earth boils down to this. Man is partaking of such knowledge, and therefore his thinking is an unpredictable mixture of correct and not correct. And man's thinking outpictures into his life through the law of mind action and the formative power of thought. This law has been known by truth teachers all through the ages. Each illumined teacher taught this law in his own style, using his own particular terminology. The Old Testament taught it, Jesus taught it, Paul taught it, and all metaphysical teachers today teach it. Unity gives the following explanation for this law. Like attracts like begets like. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. This gives the simplest, clearest, and most accurate description of the law of mind action. And all the emphasis which Unity gives to thinking is based upon understanding of this law. Now, since the law of mind action decrees that like attracts like begets like, thoughts held in mind produces after their kind, Unity makes a very distinct connection between right thinking and its results, incorrect thinking and its results. Generally speaking, Unity designates the very worst and lowest level of thinking as negative thinking. Many persons who learn this jump to the conclusion that we teach the highest level of thinking to be positive thinking. This is not so. Unity does not say that positive thinking is the highest level of thinking. It is only much better than negative thinking. Positive thinking is a right step toward the best. In Unity, we call the highest and best level of thinking meditation and prayer. This is more than positive thinking. This is truth thinking. In the teaching annotations for Lessons in Truth, this question and its answer is found. The question is God responsible for keeping our thoughts right? If not, who is? And our answer is, God is not responsible for keeping our thoughts right. Man himself has that responsibility. In giving man the power to think, God has also given man the freedom to think. Freedom demands having a choice. Without choice, there is no freedom. If we were not free to think as we chose, then we would not really be thinking. We would be simply expressing automatic, instinctive, unconscious programming and reacting. This is not the same as thinking. God's only responsibility is in creating the truth. Our responsibility is in learning His truth and aligning our thinking to that which we know to be truth. One of the things Unity calls attention to in its teachings about thinking is the habit man has, which is called reactive or second-hand thinking. And this is the type of thinking which consists of man's automatic reaction to outer appearances and sense impressions. This is not real thinking, creative thinking, which comes from wisdom within. This is just a mechanical act of transforming a mental image of what one already sees and making a carbon copy of it in the mind. Whether what one is copying is good or bad, right or wrong, real or unreal. Unity says, make the effort to base your thinking on the foundation principles of truth, and your thinking will be rewarded by soul growth and your rising into higher and higher levels of consciousness. The foundation principles of truth, as accepted by Unity, are these. There is one presence and one power in the universe, God the good, omnipotent. That is the foundation principle. And upon that principle, we add these further statements of truth. God is divine mind. Divine ideas or truth is the mode of expression of divine mind. Divine ideas are the only correct patterns for the thoughts of man. The thoughts of man are the builders of his states of consciousness. And finally, states of consciousness manifest for man as conditions and events in his life. And these steps are the whole point of Dr. Cady's chapter on thinking in Lessons in Truth. Our fourth loving look at Lessons in Truth is into the chapter on denial. Probably no single item in our teaching of Unity Fundamentals is more in need of updating and clarification than that of denials. Resistance to it takes many forms, ranging from the declaration of, I don't need denial, all I need is affirmation, or why use denials? When you deny something, you are actually making it stronger in your mind. I must confess that at one time I held both these attitudes in myself toward denials, and for many years I totally abandoned any work on myself in the form of using denials. But something within me kept telling me this was a mistake, that I was cheating myself out of a very valuable thing by ignoring the principle of denial. So I kept going back to Lessons in Truth to reread the chapter on denials. One day it dawned on me. The trouble lay in the fact that Dr. Cady did not write enough on this subject. She only gives an introduction to it, and then she closes the chapter before some really important things get said. It is not so much that anything Dr. Katy writes about denials is wrong, but simply that her treatment is incomplete. Many of the things she neglects to say in her chapter are very important. And one of the main weaknesses to many readers in this chapter is the fact that it seems to place too much emphasis on using words of denial on things that are already out there. That is, it talks about using denials on conditions that already exist, or on personalities which are already active. The direction of the power of denial is mostly an external one described in the chapter. And this is what causes some persons to declare that the use of denial in this manner might actually strengthen our belief in the very thing we are denying. Many ministers and teachers in Unity feel that Dr. Katy should have concentrated more on the internal direction of the use of denial. That is, instead of using words of denial on conditions which already are manifesting, or on personalities which are already expressing, that we should use our words of denial almost entirely on ourselves, within, on our own negative thoughts, negative emotions, false beliefs, hostile attitudes. Here is where denial really works best. Now, no person can really effectively use the power of denial if he or she does not know at least something about the 12 powers of man. One of our 12 powers is called renunciation, or elimination. It is because we have this faculty that denials work for us. Renunciation is our ability to say no, to reject, or to let go in the mind. We have to use this faculty. Otherwise, we become burdened with such an accumulation of error and negativity that we can become crushed under it eventually. But because man has been endowed with a faculty which enables him to say no, to reject, to refuse, and to let go, he can separate himself from that which is not really a part of his true nature, and that which he does not want to claim as a permanent part of his life. Jesus made a very significant statement during his ministry. He said, "Let your speech be yea, yea, and nay, nay." Metaphysically understood, he is telling us to exercise both the powers of affirmation and denial. We use our faith to say yes to God and truth and divine ideas, but we use our renunciation faculty to say no to error, negativity, and selfishness. We cannot afford to say yes to everything, and we cannot afford to say no to everything. Jesus indicates we should learn to express both when the circumstances call for one or the other. We should seek to strike an ideal balance between our expressions of yea, yea, and nay, nay. So we seek to gain a more clear and correct understanding of the principles of both affirmation and denial in our Unity teachings. There is no doubt that it is best to use my power of denial only on things which I discover within myself. Denial is my method of expressing no to that which I encounter in myself, which I do not want to make a part of myself. It is an inner act of refusal, of rejection. It is a letting go, a making of a separation between myself and something which has entered into my field of awareness. Correctly used, denials always work. the metaphysical key to the correct use of both affirmation and denial is in our sense of I am. Where is my thought of I am, my feeling of I am, my whole sense of I am? This is absolutely the most important question any human being can ask himself. For where my sense of I am is, that is where my life is coming from. All the details of my existence stem from the level of consciousness where I have focused my sense of I am. Now we have within us, within our wholeness, many strata or levels of consciousness. The lower strata are characterized mostly by negativity, materiality, sensuality, and selfishness. All our human errors and faults lie on these lower strata. Unity has different names for these lower levels in a person: sense consciousness, materialistic thinking, lower self. But I believe the best designation of all is false personality. All human ills spring from the mistake of placing my sense of I am in my false personality. On the lower levels of ourself reside the most dangerous and unattractive of all the things in human nature, which are negative emotions. Negative emotions are the number one harm causers to our bodies, our minds, and our relationships with others. Negative emotions eat up vital energy, destroy our beauty, ruin our health. Negative emotions are the things above all else that we should direct our power of denial toward. More than anything else, we should separate ourselves from negative emotions. Now here is a point which it is necessary for every serious truth student to understand. Negative emotions come to everybody. But there is a big difference between a negative emotion coming to a person and a person who puts his sense of I am into a negative emotion and goes with it. Take a person who feels anger. Anger is a negative emotion. Certain things happen in life which may cause anger to invade a person's field of consciousness. It comes from his lower levels. It is not the real person, but it is in a person. It can rise up from the false personality and enter the level where our sense of I am is at that moment. At this point, a person can make a choice. He or she can either accept the negative emotion or they can reject it. If they accept it, then they will put their sense of I am into that negative emotion and go along with it. This is called being negative. The person is then dominated by the negative emotion, and if something corrective is not done, that person eventually will go through another round of useless, unnecessary suffering. On the other hand, if a person decides not to accept the negative emotion, he can then use his great power of denial and refuse to put his sense of I am into it. He can refuse to go with it. And once this is done, the person himself is in control, and he can eliminate the negative emotion from his field of consciousness. He has practiced denial correctly, and he will be greatly benefited as a result. Some persons complain that this does not work as I have described it. They say it doesn't work in their case. I have heard people claim that denials simply do not work for them, even when they try to use them on their own inner states or on their own negative emotions. Now, I think the reason some of us have this difficulty is because we do not follow the right sequence in the process of correct use of denial. You see, the first step to take in correct denial is not something you do, but rather something you don't do. It is to refuse to put your sense of I am into the negative emotion you are experiencing. You cannot avoid experiencing the emotion once it makes its appearance in your field of awareness, but you can avoid putting your I am into it and going along with it. You do not have to call any negative emotion I am. Because to put your I am into any negative emotion will cause you to discover that it is having its way with you. But when you refuse to put your I am into any negative emotion, you will discover that you are perfectly free to not go along with it, and it has no further control over you. You use your faculty of renunciation to refuse to give your sense of I am to it. You refuse to go with it. And this will produce a decided and very definite separation between you and it. And the next step will be its elimination. It is important that we take the proper steps to stop negative emotions from continuing to eat up and waste our vital energies. We need those vital energies for a very wonderful project which has begun in us, which is the building of the new and perfect body for us. Every person who is in truth as a result of his or her own choice has already a new body in process of being developed within themselves. And this new body requires a type of vital energy for its continued construction, which can come only from the very highest levels within our being. Now, when the flow of this vital energy stops coming, the building of this new body ceases. And when the flow of this higher and finer vital energy resumes, the building of this new body resumes. And all of this is found in Jesus' teachings concerning what he called the regeneration. He was speaking of the regenerated body, the new body now being built, the body of light and substance, the body which is incorruptible and pure. And this is the body which follows the perfect body pattern which God has implanted in us. And we can all have this new body. It will simply come forth from within us, take over, and replace the imperfect molecular structure of the present body the human family now is generating. But this requires a continued generating and flow of a very high and fine type of vital energy, an energy which is formed and which comes from the highest levels of our being, from what Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven within. Now, negative emotions eat up this energy and waste it. But negative emotions cannot do this if we refuse to give them our sense of I am and refuse to go with them. This is the real purpose of using denial. Denial is only the name we in unity give to the exercise of our faculty of renunciation. Renunciation is one of the 12. It is essential. It is necessary to use it. And this is what Jesus taught, and it is what unity teaching. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and follow me. Let your speech be yea, yea, and nay, nay.